40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
You know, emotional high to emotional low to high to low to high again. But that's why we play the game, and you know, that's the craziest game I can honestly say I've ever played in, and it's only game two.
That's George Springer, whose 11th inning two-run homer lifted the Houston Astros to a 7-6 victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers in a wild game two in Major League Baseball's World Series. Springer's long ball was one of a record 8 home runs in Los Angeles, the most ever in a World Series game. And Houston's Hispanic power was certainly on display. Puerto Rican shortstop Carlos Correa also hit a home run, as did Venezuelan players Jose Altuve and Marwin Gonzalez. And for the Dodgers, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, Charlie Culberson, and the Cuban Yasiel Puig hit home runs. This 113th World Series is now tied at one game each. Thursday is a travel day with Game 3 on Friday night in Houston, Texas. Houston manager A.J. Hinch reflects on the thrilling Game 2.
I mean, that's an incredible game on so many levels, so many ranges of emotion. If you like October baseball, you know, if you like any kind of baseball, that's one of the most incredible games that you'll ever be a part of.
For his part, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts says the Astros showed their fighting spirit in recording their first World Series victory in club history.
These guys, they can do a lot of things, and they fight till the last out. They play 27 outs, and that's the same thing we do. And it was one of those games that just ran out of outs. But those guys, to their credit, against a very good bullpen, they tacked on runs, kept going.
So we now go to Game 3 in Major League Baseball's World Series. Once again, it'll be played on Friday night in Houston, Texas. The Astros are bidding for their first World Series title in their only previous appearance in 2005 when they were in the National League. The Astros were swept in 4 straight games by the Chicago White Sox. The Los Angeles Dodgers, meanwhile, have 6 previous World Series titles, with their last one in 1988. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Oh, keep on the sunny side.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home.
Nana Kwame Sasswa, yes,
classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. England will play Spain in Saturday's final at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup football tournament in Kolkata, India. In Wednesday's semifinal results, Spain defeated Mali 3-1, and England beat Brazil by that same 3-1 scoreline. Rian Brewster was the hat-trick hero for the British boys. In fact, it was Rian's second consecutive hat-trick. He also scored 3 goals against the United States in England's 4-1 quarterfinal victory. The head coach of England's under-17 soccer team is Steve Cooper.
It's an amazing achievement to score a hat-trick in a quarter-final and a semi-final is... I'm not normally one to talk about individuals, but to do that, it needs a special mention. There's no doubt about that. And he deserves it, and the team deserve it. I mean, if you'd seen the boys together in the dressing room and the way Rian is speaking to the rest of the team about the service that he's getting. And you can also see it's not just about Rian's goals, it's about the effort that he puts in for the team. You know, we want to win the ball back as quick as we can, we want to press, and that starts with your number nines. And Rian's, you know, he is a goal scorer, but he's more than that, and fantastic character.
That's Steve Cooper, the head coach of England's under-17 World Cup team, talking about his star striker, Rian Brewster. Brewster is being closely watched by his English Premier League club, Liverpool. Liverpool's under-23 manager, Neil Critchley, says Brewster, and I quote, is having a great time at the moment, and he's happy for him, but he will not be given an open-top bus parade when he returns to the club. Rian Brewster has not yet made an appearance for Liverpool's first team. With 7 goals total, Brewster is the leading scorer at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup. Meanwhile, in the Spain-Mali semifinal, the Spanish boys got 2 goals from Abel Ruiz and another from Ferran Torres before Mali got a late consolation goal in the 74th minute from Lassana Ndiaye. Ndiaye and Ruiz have also had a very productive FIFA Under-17 World Cup in India. They've scored 6 goals each. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin in Accra, Ghana's capital, the venue for a big boxing card that might have some historic future implications for boxing in Africa. VOA! Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Sonny, it was a fight that happened at a Bukom boxing arena that was built by the former president, John Mahama. It was sold out, packed, and we were able to watch it live and direct from Africa. I watched it in Los Angeles at 4:07 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Mm. And millions of fans in New Zealand, Australia, Europe, all over America, we watched it and it was action-packed all the way. Sami Bastia against Bukom Bangku.
Can you tell our VOA boxing fans about him, Nnamdi?
Bukom Bangku is what we call the African Mayweather. He does not have a Mayweather's bank account, but in terms of swagger and talking up the fight and being what we call a showboy and a hype man, he was able to do a lot to promote the fight and bring the fans into the stadium. He was undefeated, first lost in 30 fights. And Samir Bastia, the beast, we all know from him fighting here in America and even here in Los Angeles. And it was a fight at the cruiserweight level. It was action all the way, and it all ended in a knockout, Sonny.
Do you think there'll be a rematch, Nnamdi?
Well, the fans, this fight happened over the weekend, but on social media, they're still talking about it. And the fans want a rematch. Personally, I don't want a rematch because Banku is a good fighter. And Banku, if he's well handled, can challenge for the world title in the cruiserweight division in 2018. Mind you, this is his first loss and he's an action fighter and he can talk up a fight. There's no reason why for him to go back and fight the beast, Bastia Sami, again. Bastia Sami can also drop down to the light heavyweight division and challenge for the world title because Sami is undefeated too and is known here in America.
Voice of America!
Great fight. The fans in Accra, Ghana reminds me of the Mexican fight fans here in America. They're all rolling with the punches like Saturday night.
You talked about the social media reaction, Namdi. What about that Facebook live streaming? What impact can that have on boxing in Africa?
Sonny, this is a big opening that African promoters must take a very close look at. This fight in Ghana was Ghana Web and SVTV Africa. I mean, for the fact that it came out clean and the pictures were really strong and the fight, the only thing we didn't hear was a fight analyst analyzing the fight while the fight was going on. But the analyst came back at the end of the fight to analyze the fight. But it was clean and the fans enjoyed it. And the fans from all over the world watch the fight. When we tabulate the numbers, we're looking at more than 1 million eyeballs, Sonny. So if we're talking about promotion and sponsorship, this is a good platform to go with.
Namdi, you mentioned the African Mayweather. What about the real Mayweather? What is he up to?
Oh, Sonny, the real Mayweather is about to do it again. He's been posting gymnasium videos and he's trying to get us ready because now, you remember Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, that was a 4.4 million buy on pay-per-view and they cleaned out. And the way it sounds now, they are ready to do it again and the fight fans, some people are not happy. But hey, nobody complained after the first fight. He carried Conor McGregor. So who are we to complain? When they do it again, people will buy, but some people may not buy.
Namdi, Amir Khan, like Conor McGregor, has been calling out Floyd Mayweather on social media. What about Khan Mayweather?
Sonny, Khan Mayweather will not bring any money because, remember, Amir Khan has not stepped into the ring after being knocked out by Canelo, and that's more than a year. Amir Khan is a fight that Mayweather will have to chase Khan all over the ring. But with Conor McGregor, easy fight. He will carry McGregor for a few rounds and come and knock him out again. And moreover, remember, the MMA fans are behind Conor McGregor. Amir Khan has no fan base anymore. He's busy dealing with the fallout with his marriage and divorce with his wife. Fight fans don't care about Amir Khan. Fight fans and MMA fans will go for a rematch and we will scream and say it's a ripoff, but at the end of the day, everybody will laugh to the bank.
All right, Namdi, let's go to Tokyo, where Ryota Murata, 2012 Olympic champion from Japan, he scores a seventh-round technical knockout victory over Cameroon-born Hassan Ndam in a rematch. Tell us about that fight, Namdi.
Sonny, you would call this a sweet revenge because remember, Murata was robbed in his hometown in May because he had Ndam on the floor in the fourth round. This fighter here, Ryota Murata, Olympic gold medalist in 2012, is now the first middleweight champion in Japan in 22 years, Sonny. The question becomes, what happened to homeboy from Cameroon? Because he won the first fight, he put up a good fight. This second fight around, we in the fight game feel he just quit and took the money.
In terms of quitting, Namdi, one of the reports said he asked his corner to take his gloves off.
Well, he had no choice because he was dominated from the beginning of the fight. And Murata was just in the body, eating up the body, so he had no legs to walk on. In order to save him and be able to count his money in the future, he told his the corner to stop the fight, which was a very good move by the corner because he would have really been in deep trouble.
Defeat for Ndam, but victory for Sharif the Lion Bogere from Uganda. Namdi, I understand you had a chance to chat with Sharif.
Sonny, the Lion has been away for 13 months. This is the longest he's ever been away. I spoke to him after the fight. He beat Jose Rodriguez from Mexico. Sheriff said he's healed now from injuries, because he was dealing with injuries. And for a fighter dealing with injuries, you cannot perform. And now with Floyd Mayweather and Team Mayweather Promotions behind him, he's looking at coming back again in the beginning of the year and then challenge for the lightweight title in 2018. And I asked him, I said, you're still fighting as a lightweight. Don't you plan on moving up into 140? Because a lot of money at 140. He said no, he wants to win a title in the lightweight division and then talk about moving up in the future. And I think with the lion healed now, I believe 2018, he will make huge noise.
Nnamdi, it sounds like Bogere's speed really made an impact in that victory.
Speed and power for the lion. And I believe since he's healed now, with Mayweather behind him, they can put up the money. And he has a fan-friendly style that the TV executives will love. So with him coming back and the division is wide open, I think it stands a chance of picking up a belt in 2018.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Nnamdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. I understand the Swiss Miss is trending.
Yes, she is. And this is part of a theme that when I put my notes together for today's show, I didn't see the theme until you mentioned it right before we went on air. And I said, there is a theme here. It emerged. And the theme is so long, farewell, goodbye.
So long, farewell, goodbye. Yes. Okay, let me write that down. Okay.
Yeah, it's a long one. But we'll start, as you said, with the Swiss Miss Martina Hingis announcing on Facebook that after the WTA Tour Finals, in which she is currently playing doubles, she will be retiring from tennis. Actually, for the third time. She had previously retired in the early 2000s. She came back, had a little bit of a run with some doubles titles in the mid-2000s before stepping away from the game again. And then in just the past few years, she came back playing exclusively doubles, women's doubles and mixed doubles. But she writes on Facebook, now that the cat is out of the bag, here we are for the third and final time. She says that almost exactly 23 years ago, I made my professional debut. The years that have followed have been some of the most rewarding years of my life, both personally and professionally. But I believe the time has come for me to retire, which I will be doing after my last match here in Singapore, which is where the WTA Tour Finals are being held this year. She goes on to thank her fans and the sponsors and everyone that's helped her along this journey. But she does say this. She closes with this. This isn't a goodbye. As history shows, I haven't been able to stay away from tennis for long in the past, citing those times when she's come back to the game. And I'm looking forward to seeing what new opportunities and challenges lie ahead of me. I believe the best is yet to come and will continue to share my experiences with you. So this news, big news in the tennis world. Someone who has won 5 Grand Slam singles titles. Martina Hingis went to all 4 of the major tournament finals in 1997. In fact, she was 1 French Open victory away from capturing the calendar year Grand Slam in singles. She did get a calendar year Grand Slam in doubles in 1998, part of her 13 doubles titles, and 10 Grand Slam titles since her return in just the past couple years, including 6 mixed doubles titles and 4 women's doubles titles. So someone who is one of the greats of the game, an incredibly accomplished tennis player, and one that a lot of fans are going to miss. We're seeing lots of tributes pouring in, not just from fans, but from fellow players, from the tournaments. A lot of these tournaments now have official Twitter and Facebook and Instagram accounts, so they're paying their tributes to Martina Hingis. But as she said, I don't think this is the last we're going to see of her. She has a very active social media presence. I wouldn't be surprised, Sonny, if we saw her maybe do some commentary, maybe some coaching. She's been an informal advisor to some of the Swiss players. I would not be surprised to see that she is still involved in the game in some capacity, even though she won't be on the court.
We'll miss the Swiss Miss Martina Hingis, and we'll miss her here in Washington. Didn't she stop here for that World Team Tennis Tour, Andrew?
Yeah, she's been playing with the Washington Castles of World Team Tennis for the past few years. The hope is that she'll continue to play there. It's more of an exhibition-type tennis situation, so she hopefully will still play. I know she's a fan favorite here in Washington. But even if she doesn't come back and she is done with tennis, like I said, I don't think she's going to stay away from the game. She'll be involved in some capacity.
Okay, what's next for so long, farewell, goodbye?
Well, so long, farewell, goodbye to Joe Girardi, the manager of the New York Yankees. Less than a week after the New York Yankees came within one game of going to the World Series, the team has announced that Joe Girardi, their manager, is out. Very surprising move is catching a lot of fans off guard. The statement from the Yankees released on social media just simply reads, "Today the Yankees announced that Joe Girardi will not return as manager in 2018. And that's followed up with another post with a quote from Yankees general manager Brian Cashman, who says he thanks Girardi for his 10 years of hard work and service to the Yankees organization. So these statements on social media have kind of become online gathering places for fans to leave their tributes and well wishes. Lots of fans really shocked and just caught off guard. Looking at Joe Girardi's resume, it's clear why they're surprised. The Yankees, as we said, nearly went to the World Series this year. The Yankees won a World Series with Girardi as manager back in 2009, and in fact, he's taken the team to six postseasons of his 10 years as manager, although some of those were in rebuilding years. So fans even citing that, saying during the rebuilding years, they were still getting to the postseason. And in the 10 years that Girardi was manager, and I think this is a fascinating stat, Sonny, the Yankees had 910 wins, 710 losses, which is the best record for any Major League Baseball team over that time period. So they said he was literally the best manager over the past 10 seasons, and the team still fired him. So lots of fans shaking their heads, scratching their heads, wondering why this happened. That's one of the questions that they're asking. But they're also asking, who do the Yankees hire next? They like to hire big names. They like to hire well-known names. Joe Girardi was formerly a player with the Yankees. He actually won three World Series titles in his 4 years with the Yankees as a catcher. So a lot of fans speculating that there's one big name in particular that's floating around. Alex Rodriguez, who played 12 of his 22 seasons with the Yankees, only retired a couple years ago, but considered one of the greats of the game, and certainly in the modern era. So people wondering maybe Alex Rodriguez could end up being kind of this new celebrity manager for the Yankees. And the other question people are asking, fans are asking, where does Joe Girardi go? And that has a lot of fans here in Washington very interested, because it's some talk that after the Nationals fired their manager Dusty Baker earlier this month, that Joe Girardi could end up managing the Washington Nationals. I think Nationals fans would certainly like to win a World Series and get to the postseason consistently, and Joe Girardi has done both of those things. So a lot of Nats fans crossing their fingers, hoping he makes his way south, about 200 miles south of New York, down here to D.C., but we'll have to see how that works out.
Baseball maneuvering and baseball power at the World Series, Andrew. 8 home runs slugged in Game 2 of the World Series. So let's give a quick shout-out to the Houston Astros for prevailing in Game 2. Looks like it's going to be a great World Series.
Yeah, that's the, you know, so long, farewell, goodbye to the baseball there in Los Angeles, because 8 home runs. Talking about the heat yesterday, we said that the air quality might impact the ball, make it easier to fly through the air. Well, that certainly seemed to be the case again last night, but so long, a farewell, goodbye also to George Springer's head. George Springer is an outfielder for the Houston Astros, and he got a lot of attention on social media yesterday because there was an ad that they showed on the screen, a virtual ad that popped up in the outfield. They do this now in sports where they have ads that are virtual so they can change them out and make more money. And the virtual ad was overlapping over George Springer's head. So it looked like he was standing in the outfield without a head. So that caught up a lot of attention with fans. But thankfully, he didn't lose his head. It was still there, even though people said the World Series is nothing to lose your head over. Indeed, he didn't lose his head. He made that routine catch that he was there in the outfield to make, and his team went on to win. But that is our theme today. So long, farewell, goodbye. There you have it.
Well, we'll say goodbye for now to Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the October 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States will continue its long tradition of welcoming and caring for refugees. During fiscal year 2018, the U.S. government has proposed admitting up to 45,000 refugees from Africa, 19,000, East Asia, 5,000, Europe and Central Asia, 2,000, Latin America and Caribbean, 1,500, Near East and South Asia, 17,500. The new limit of 45,000 refugees is lower than in recent years. It takes into account a number of factors: the security of the American people, the government's capacity to properly vet the refugees according to its enhanced security procedures, and the backlog of hundreds of thousands of asylum cases the Department of Homeland Security currently faces from people who have already come into the United States and are seeking protection. Since 1975, the U.S. has welcomed more than 3 million refugees. With the new ceiling limit, the United States will continue to permanently resettle more refugees than any other country and will keep offering protection to the most vulnerable of those who have been persecuted because of race, ethnicity, political opinion, nationality, religion, or membership in a particular social group. It is also important to note that refugee resettlement is only one part of the U.S.'s response to the global crisis of forced displacement. The U.S. remains the world's leading donor of humanitarian assistance, providing over $7 billion last year. During the 2017 fiscal year, the U.S. provided more than $1.4 billion in humanitarian assistance for the Syria crisis and more than $581 million for Iraq. In addition, the U.S. has given nearly $2.5 billion for people from countries facing famine and nearly $104 million for displaced persons in Burma and the region. We are also the number one contributor to the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and continue to be the leading donor to other agencies to provide life-saving support for refugees and conflict victims, including the Red Cross, Movement, the World Food Program, UNICEF, and a wide range of non-governmental humanitarian organizations. This support provides vital assistance to refugees and conflict victims close to their home countries, with the view to enabling refugees to return to their homes voluntarily and in safety when conditions permit. The United States takes pride in its humanitarian efforts and goals and will continue to care for people around the world who are fleeing violence and persecution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.